I see you talk about a little bit of this Bundyville action. And is the war on the West on hold, or just a tale we're told? Now, from Kelly Stewart, she really summed it up real nice. And basically, she says, Leo, you lied. Painting a fake picture, it's a slur piece, and comes from a perverted agenda. Bundyville, the cult, or so they try to paint the picture. What is a cult, anyways? Talk more about that. So, on the Bundyville, the trailer, Leah and Ryan Haas, if somebody ping me over, Grimmer, you might relay any messages. Talk about grazing fees in the American West, this wide open country. And what would seem to be led by cowboys, so she says, and that has gathered up a posse. Well, this isn't about cows. It's not about the wildlife refuge out in Oregon and people, she says, that call themselves patriots. She also says it's a power and a privilege. It's a truth versus belief. Seeing themselves as heroes and not really cowboys, just gunslingers. This is from Long Reads in Oregon Public Broadcasting. Leah Santilli and Ryan J. Haas in collaboration with a few others. Leah and Ryan were up at Vegas at the courthouse. They also attended out there in Oregon during the 2016 trial out there. Pretty much what Kelly is saying, it is a hit piece is what I call it, and absolutely nothing but. It's full of bias and emotion and logical fallacy. They leave out so much. We're going to hit on it some today, and we'll pick up in a second round. This is a seven-part series from entitled Bundyville. So they talk about anti-gun protesters, they're flag waving. Lots of oxymorons. The battle, that's the first episode, and it's 43 and a half minutes long. She talks about the $1 million in back grazing fees. And Cliven says it's not about cows or money. It's about freedom and liberty. Leah says that Cliven says that he never really wanted to start a war with the federal government. She also talks about Lavoie and Reaching for a Firearm and the Killer Millers, and we'll pick up more on that later in some further episodes. Says if you want to see him as a hero, talking about Clive and Bundy, you can choose to see it that way if you want to. So, you know, leading that cult-like attitude, you know, don't think for yourself, follow along. Leah says the Bundys were anything but peaceful in April of 2014, that Clive and Bundy raised a militia and called for the Second Amendment to stand against a tyrannical government. As Hal Anthony says behind the woodshed, if you have to go to the Second Amendment, you've gone too far. What are these people we're talking about, these extreme environmentalists? We've got these patties, that I call them, position attempts to terminate individual entity sovereignty. So the anagram, they call Bundy supporters poops. And we've taken control of that as well and claimed that narrative for ourselves. Patriots overthrowing oppressive tyrants, or in my case and many others, as we might choose to look at it, as people opposed to oppressive tyranny. What are we looking at? Well, the patties. Leah says how she was afraid and really didn't know what to think. And really, I saw them like little mousy girls there, all grouped up and kind of trembling, looking over with a type of not only intimidation, but intrigue as well. And so I find that were rather amusing. I tried to, you know, talk to a bunch of folks there. Some were wouldn't even tell me who they were, you know. If that's the media that we have, then, you know, why be afraid? Tell the truth. Speak it out. So what do you look at? The poops. What were the Bundys afraid of? Well, another Waco or another Ruby Ridge, certainly. Who is the government? They always lie. And then Ryan Bundy is just talking about that in an interview that he's given with Leah Sotilli. They always lie. Comply or die, that's the policy. And what's the proof? There's kill list and so forth. And as far as what went on there at the Muddy Ranch standoff, and who led the standoff? The government claims that there were militia men and Clive and Bundy and his sons and others that were ahead of this standoff, but it was in fact the government that led a standoff. Now we'll share it. Come back to the blogcast here for more complete information. There'll be some videos there that I'll ask Grimner to drop in and include, and we'll listen to the words of Clive and Bundy himself and see what he had to say on that. Yeah, there is more proof. And what is it, real or is it memory X? How do we remember things? There may be some stretching of some tells and some misinformation. And most especially here, particularly what I'm talking about, is this this series from of Bundyville from Oregon Public Broadcasting and Leah and Ryan. They said that there were so many people that wanted to come under this big tent and that promoted the disenfranchised, the disaffected of society, people that see a problem with the government run amok. Now, their narrative would be from the series of Bundyville is that it's the people that are doing this that they're wackos, tinfoil hat wearing people, all far right wing, and unfortunately a lot of that got kind of pigeonholed. There was a lot of co-op going on during all of this that I witnessed myself there in Bunkerville in 2014, and kind of compartmentalizing the people there and pushing out people that had a little different view. Any number of things are Anonymous was there, Mad Marty, and maybe we'll get around into this what's going on there in Tucson, and this Louis Prepper, Louis Arthur, Mike something another, many names. Yeah, I got to know him out there in Bunkerville as well. He's a agent provocateur and a dangerous idiot, really. So all this getting national press, I find it pretty hilarious that this guy. No, nobody's looked in. They're going to use him as a source. I mean, if he says anything, you just about figure it's BS anyways. Well, religion versus faith. That's kind of where she's trying to pin this, is a religious movement, this cult idea. But what is faith? The seeking to do right or the will of God? I'd say, yeah. That would be a pretty good description of faith, a hope for something that's not yet seen. Or she calls it the Wild West in slow-mo. Now, Leah claims, as crazy claims that Cliven is leading or heading up a clan of conspiracy theory nuts, or just standing up. So really her narrative leads one to believe it, and I swear they're the cultists, they really are. I've run into this over on Twitter with the one telling another, don't listen to him anymore. Just shut him out, you know. Really? I'm spending my time over here dealing with these people again. Some of them I find amusing, and some of them I find some respect for as well. And at least certainly for willing to engage in and possibly even to temper their tone or the tips of their fingers anyways in response. In dealing with me, but a lot of fun, and I have some fun with them, and I'm pretty sure that they're having some fun with me as well. So we've left off over there in the discussion of all that there is to know and God in the universe, or is it just go on forever and ever ad infinitum? What do we do now? What do we do? Indeed, it ain't over. And on January the 10th in Las Vegas, up there at the sheriff's office, Cliven came to address the media. He gave a speech, and he called it. He believed he'd take any questions from the media now. And some of y'all have heard me say this. Then that's when the hands went up, and a few people was trying to talk. And Ken Ritter, I believe, he started to ask his question. I just stepped right up and says, I believe I'll take this question. And I asked Cliven, I said, well, where do we go from now? It ain't over. Matter of fact, we're back to the beginning. And basically, that's where he heads off. Now, you'll hear, I would like you to go listen for yourself. Yeah, I think it's important that you listen to those words that these people, how they were arranged over there in this Bundyville podcast episodes. You can hear and discern a lot just in the tone of her voice. I'm going to have to make a relocation here. Sorry about that. My friends are back. I went to town. So I'm going to move back here in the bedroom. This will be fun, I'm sure. I might have to put my shoes on. Go for a walk. Hey, I'm doing a radio show.
Not now?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back in the bedroom, but if you don't blast it, it's too loud.
Oh, I'm not gonna blast it.
All right, cool. Thanks, bro. All right, family here. I'm part of them. And where I'm at. poor internet connection. Let me back in front of the window. Back here. Hopefully it'll work. Okay. Test. How's that coming there, Gary? You still good?
Yeah, you sound fine. You were dropping out a little bit, but you're back now.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully this will stand here. And I'll try to position myself and get back in position. If I start falling off here, well, let me know. Okay. Well, let me just back up. Where were we there? The sheriff's office, yeah. So a little later on, I point out Channel 8 because they had clipped and truncated some of what Carol Bundy had to say at the courthouse when we were waiting on whether Clive and Bundy would be getting out. So they cut it down, and I called to them, and I said, you better put all this out. So they did. They put out all 45 minutes. I challenged them not to cut any of what was going on. So I think they felt like they had to do it. So Leah assumes she knows all there is to know about the Bundys and their followers and so forth. But what's next? That they'd hang up their cowboy hats? She mused, and that they're just a fluke, and that maybe a bellwether of anti-government types, and but is there a storm gathering, and calls himself righteous, and moves on to the battle-born Bundy, Ryan Bundy, for governor. What's his idea is to take it back. Is there some danger in going with the unknown? I'd say yeah, but what danger do you have in staying with the what we have now? Now she calls us and others sovereign citizens. Which is BS because that's a plain lie, and it is a oxymoron. I don't know. I'm not aware of anybody that calls himself a sovereign citizen. Well, you take that back. I think some people have misappropriately applied that to themselves. She goes on to talk about Denise Ratz, that's Cliven's campaign manager, talking about frame to fight, and calls in the idea of militia. Ryan wants to free the political prisoners. And Haas asked him during this interview that they did in Clive and Bundy's house with he and Leah, want to know why he ran for governor. And, well, that's part of it. Ryan is led by his faith, not only in God, but the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and believes in the right of a speedy trial, and calling that how they were denied and were held as political prisoners. She moves on to Ammon Bundy and ranch rights, and where they had a speaking engagement up there in Modesto, California, and how he compares science as an environmental religion. And I was trying to smash a word here, the animal, the animal, smash that word, animal man. But, hey, at least we get some free range, right? Shout out to Tom Lockevar Stewart for the following, and on Kieran Suckling. And he claimed, of course, he was assaulted. I think he's more offended or offended anyways. But anyways, Kieran Suckling, Center for Biological Diversity, the tortoise man can and will sue the federal government and manipulate policy. That non-governmental organizations. And then she moves on right on and just how awful the people were. Oh, by the way, the marshals up there in Las Vegas commented several times on the demeanor and the folks out there, you know, the protesters, the supporters, whatever you wanted to have been called. I called myself a supporter reporter. Then, anyways, they move on to the killer Millers. Now, they were camped about 30 feet from me in 2014. The man roamed about quite a bit, but I did see some things from him. His old lady hung out right there in the little center area, little rock wall. That right there where I was sheriff at Riverside there, it's a ghost town they call it. Y'all remember, my listeners here, there when I spent 40 days in the desert in Riverside along the Virgin River. Went out and visited Clive and Bundy, and mostly just relaxed after all that time on the road, and threw up a tent, like I like to do.
Yeah.
So the Millers, now, strange folks. Strange folks they are, were. So there's a lot of conspiracy-minded ideas that might come into play with them, but they too were disenfranchised and something. I think it was fueled probably by drugs. I think meth was involved, and there may have been some handlers that molded and manipulated the killer Millers.
Audio's breaking up a little there.
Okay, let me just talk my phone a little bit on the other side, maybe. How's that?
Sounds fine for now.
Killer Millers. Okay, good. Thank you. This an extreme, religious extremist, fundamentalist religious group, the same as the Islamic State, domestic terrorist. Al-Qaeda, jihadist, converged in 2014. Public land conflict, push a button, the easy button, and here come the militia. So there were hundreds of people that came on any particular day there, some less than others. But overall, there were a few thousand people that came out there over the weeks. And it's much more than the tail of a tortoise and a hare, hide and hoof, or the cow. It's not just about public land. It's not. It's not. It's it goes much more beyond that. Beyond the red. Tiles no move in 92 and cattle free in 93. It's the lands and tortoise on the endangered species list, much, much more than that. And why has Cliven been running his cattle, parentheses, illegally on public land? It's a common story out west. NGOs suing for policy and back to folks like Kieran Suckling at the Center for Biological Diversity. She says that Clive and Bundy does not recognize the U.S. government as existing. That is in comparison to jurisdiction and states' rights. So a lot of times he kind of fumbles with his words, and it's real easy to be able to take some of his words out of contextual meaning. So she says, oh, land out west is expensive, and federal land of the have permission to run cows on is so much cheaper, and that's why they do it. That you have no idea about ranching, first of all, whether it be in the West or anywhere else. Absolutely no understanding. We go on to Yeah, let's continue first. So the BLM was supposedly created by Truman, and you're going to want to see more about that. And the Tyler Grazing Act, you know, we talked about that, and the Enclave Act of Section 1817, and so forth, of what powers the government has to own land. And that lies at the core of this ideologist. This discussion, this debate, this conflict that has gone to the courts. She talks again about the sovereign citizen ideology, and I tell you, it's an oxymoron. And taxing and grazing fees being behind all this rebellion, so-called, as she calls it. But again, it's back to the U.S. court's jurisdiction. It's public land and feral cattle born wild, she says, in 2 decades of court battles, of land use and the endangered species, talking again of $2 million in grazing fees and the confiscation of cattle as a payment of back fees, et cetera, et cetera. Trespass on U.S. land, 90% of Nevada is claimed by the federal agencies in Washington, D.C. And she also talks about Clive and Bundy referring to himself in the third person. Well, I don't know if he's always done that, but I reckon that he kind of got pushed out there as a figurehead on this early on. And so they was always talking about Clive and Bundy, Clive and Bundy. And one day he says, well, what would Clive and Bundy do? Well, let me tell you what I know about Clive and Bundy. Well, he's a simple man and rancher. I like him. I think he's a good man. He's just a man. He's not charismatic, trying to lead up. Well, you know, I say that. He reminded me of my grandpa in so many ways. First time I sat down across from him several years ago. But leading a cult, no. There's been no discussion of religion other than what I've brought up with him ever. So, yeah, this claim of being a cult, not so much. So get on your boots and take a stand. Cliven said that. Time to get on her boots and take a stand. And was it looking for a fight, a civil war? Well, F that. On April 9th of 2014, Margaret Houston, that was an aunt there, family member of the Bundys, she gets thrown to the ground by one of these BLM agents. They were a rough bunch of cods, too, I'll tell you, if y'all ain't seen that video. We'll have to hunt that up. So Ammon, he blocks a truck and gets tased for his trouble. And then the shouts come of BLM go away as the taser mounts or the tongs were ripped from him 2-3 times, matter of fact. So this, what right here, more to standing in the gap. Pete Santilli, he calls out for people to come and Why was they trying to stop that truck anyways? Maxine Bernstein, I believe she called it a convoy. And I say it was a bunch of armed thugs escorting the agent of destruction there, instrument of destruction, that is. And they had a backhoe and a dump truck. And they'd been up there ripping out water lines, destroying these springs that went down to feed water to the cattle and to other wildlife as well. And these folks that have been ranching out here for some decades wanted to know what they had up in them trucks. And instead of just, hey, yeah, we're peace officers, we're doing our due diligent duty out here, and we decided to come beat you in the head, something. Well, that's what they end up doing. But, you know, they could have just like, yeah, you want to look in there, look in there. What harm is that? We'll see if we're breaking the law. But if they're breaking the law, indeed, they were hiding, covering up their tracks. We're finding that happening more and more and more every day, at least being exposed under the color of law. So, corrals cows under I-15. Not true. There were some folks kind of corralling, collared up down under I-15, and there was some old gates that they'd probably just picked up that was already around there. I don't even think that they brought any new gates with them. But, so they prop them up across there and put a special, like militia, military-style assault team up there, and they had guns pointing at everyone. Now, time and time again, we hear these assertions that the folks there that came to stand with the Bundys were pointing guns at federal agents. And now, I can't get exact for sure on this, but I do believe the picture with Eric Parker timestamp will show that that was a post picture after the event. I know when I walked up there, I saw him there and talking to two ladies, and so I stood there for a few minutes, and this was before any approach to the gate. It was just the very beginning. So they were calling for pictures, and I don't remember exactly if that was right before or right after I went under the bridge or just sometime later. Anyway, it's been a while back, but I do understand that these pictures were posed of Eric Parker with the gun. And even if he was trying to aim down there, he had no range of motion poking through a long slit in the concrete barricade along the bridge of Interstate 15 to command any type of firing position is what also is been said. So, Leo, you're wrong there. I'll assume since you didn't really have boots on ground there, you're just a little bit confused, as was Maxine Bernstein when she said that Dave Bundy was assaulted in the Toco Wash. Now, it's on the road between Bunkerville and, Mesquite, Bunkerville, then Riverside, and then back into Interstate 15. They'll circle back around. But anyways, he's over there. Now, it is on the other side of the river from the Toco Wash. So, I mean, she went far off in location, but still, again, just some misinformation there. I won't call lies, all right? And I did let Maxine know about that, but she pushed it more to her. It was a convoy, you know, so I had to call it a convoy. I said, well, you know, it was more like a military escort, but, you know, we're just hashing words. So, where are we? Yeah. And that the feds, the feds were the ones at the gate, and the people, and they were pointing guns at the people. They had the sniper rifles. And the stand down the day before it came for Gillespie. I got a little bit more in the back here into my notes here on that. So the bigger guns on to Oregon and after the winds. So the battle against the Bundys begins again, indeed. Getting the cows back, what happened? Was that just the beginning? First of all, the BLM, the Federal Park Service, U.S. Forest Service were supposed to be already on their way. And that's what Sheriff Gillespie said. I heard him say the very words. He said, got word from dispatch on the way out. The cows are being released. It turns out that was just a lie. That was just set up for the takedown, trying to, corral Clive Bundy a little bit later. calling Santilli also, I mean, Sotilli, calling Santilli out on bring more guns, right wingers. So that's who I heard was Pete Santilli, and then I met him out there. But I know people that worked with Pete, Jaja, Janine Gordon, and Suzanne Posel. Yeah, they don't have very nice things to say about Pete Santilli, and I wonder. He looked like the guy I was looking for when I was looking around to see who the troublemaker was before I knew who he was. I knew who he was, but I didn't know who he was there. I didn't recognize him. In other words, so Tilly suggests the Bundys might resemble a cult and that you got to hear both sides. So she's letting on like she's an honest, sincere journalist. And, so an interview with Ryan, J. Haas, from theringer.com. I want to bring you that link here in the podcast to read on. Now, don't get me wrong. You really got to pick through all this stuff to find out. You know, well, just listen to Hal Anthony. He does it every Sunday right here on RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz, at noon o'clock on the left coast. That's out in the Pacific side of the country. So that'd make it 3 o'clock Eastern for y'all that are otherwise time zone impaired. Or a member of a cult that can't get out on a regular basis. Well, what is a cult anyways? It's a relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or sinister. Well, I didn't see any animal sacrifice or anything else going on out there by the Bundys. And like I said, I think they're pretty open to allowing people to experience their own idea of religiosity. And according to the LDS doctrine anyways, that, you know, there's different chances and levels of heaven for everybody except for the sons of perdition. Oh, so that brings us into obsession. Or is it a passion? So I've heard this word obsession used more than a time or two, describing these patties, you know, the people that are against the Bundys. Well, I just call it the Wild Wild West. Pointing guns by playing cowboys. That's what she said. But who's doing the wrestling in the West, after all? Who's the good guy here? We're about 18 minutes in to the podcast the first one there, the Bundyville, the battle. This is the first 43 and a half minutes, I think it is. So 18 minutes in, we go to Burns, Oregon, and everybody knows everybody, and we talk about the Hammonds. And turn the page, Bob Seger would say. So, Cliven, he didn't represent himself anyways. We're going to get to that. That was a little note from earlier or a while ago I threw up here so I didn't forget. So there's a lot of, in that saying that Clyde Bundy insinuated that he was representing himself. There weren't any lawyers in the courtroom, where in fact it was full of lawyers, and Ryan Bundy is the one who did. He didn't represent himself. It was there's a different word for it. Anyways, I've always forget that daggum word. It's Latin. Anyways, I don't remember. Sorry. Wait a minute. Oh, mandatory fight. Yeah, that we're at. We're in Oregon. The Hammonds. What brought us around about it that way? This mandatory 5-year sentence that was reimposed on the father and son ranchers in up around Burns, Oregon. There. The judge says that it was cruel and unusual punishment, and he refused to give them that full 5 years. But the feds came along and sent them back. And that goes on towards taking land and pennies on the pound or beat down deals. I'll pound you down. That's versus a hard stand and waltz right in, as Leah called it, and occupied the Oregon, the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. So many people said, I call BS on that. There was not a lot of people saying militia go home, Bundys go home. There was a sign that was put up, and that turns out to be from, I wish I could remember the name, but I think the lady was a judge or something. It was special interest. It was a staged event. You get a lot of those. Absolutely. So we also, she talks about, the militia go home and signs and sex toys and shots fired. The ambush on the way to see the sheriff. So she claims that Lavoie was radicalized. That's that Leah Sotelli says. And so was it assassination, a justified shooting, or suicide? Prior shots. Okay. So prior shots were taken at the truck, and that's what's going on now up there in Portland. So evidentiary hearings and some other stages of that trial for the FBI agent that fired upon Lavoie's truck with Ryan Bundy, with Ms. Cox and Shauna Cox and Victoria Sharp. Sorry, Victoria's name was pulling a block there for a minute. Those shots they took at the truck, they didn't deny it, and him and his team, the HRT, hostage rescue team, went and policed up the shelves. So that's still going on, and it starts July 24th in My buddy didn't change his mind. I'll meet him up in the down Riverside, California, and head up to Portland for that. And then come back home and settle down for a while and get everything re-stuck together and put in place and start working on all this other stuff that I've got here from my years and a half of travel and working on this Bundy case here. Is it over? No, it ain't over. And Grimner asked me a couple of weeks ago, you know, am I still on this? Yeah. And it's like when I asked Clive and Bundy, what's next? It ain't over, right back where it started. The reason I went to Bunkerville in 2014 is because I saw the great importance. You agree with Clive and Bundy, whether it be right or wrong. The fact remains this. How can you stand? What will be allowed in your stand against with a grievance against governmental decision that comes against you? And what about the right to gather, to protest, to exhibit your rights, whether it be free speech or the bearing of arms? I think that's a good emphasis, you know, that had it come to pulling triggers, you know, it'd all been over with. And that's what we want to avoid is this civil war. And as I read, I think back on the last page or two, no effing way. I want to back up to that here in my notes here. Where's that? One more page. The feds broke the rules. We know that. Did they resemble the occult? Here it is. Looking for a fight. Civil war. F that. Yeah, but looking back at history, we can see how that comes into place many, many times. So if you're on the idea of bloodshed, blood and guts in the streets, it's a very, very, very bad idea. And I'd like to say that peace is it's settled in law. And once we can get past the convolution, what is law? It's right and wrong. It's a pretty simple concept. Trying to take my head off. That's what Ryan says he's doing. Then the cops kept shooting. Then arrest came. Cliveman was taken too sometime later there. He landed up in Portland to go be in support of his kids who had been taken in up there. Ryan Bundy's got a bullet in his arm still to this day. Belief in their own story, says Leia. Talking about liberal enclaves and how they ought to have been feared to be there in Las Vegas at the federal courthouse and not being at home in the city. She goes on to bring in the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing and Tim LaVey, an anti-government extremist. The Bundys, Ryan's running for governor. They're not anti-government, and they've always claimed to be anti-corrupt government and calling for a check and balance on this jurisdiction. Maybe it's time for that, or past time. So she goes on to talk about bringing Gary Hunt in. I've talked about Gary Hunt. Bram Thornton and I have as well. Excuse me. And I wonder if he's not a spook himself. It's claimed that he was in Oklahoma City. He was the unidentified John Doe number two with the in the photograph of the with the trigger. A lot to be said about conspiracy in Oklahoma City bombing. It's also I've rumored that Gary Hunt was in Waco. Tim LaVey, that is, I saw many years ago a picture of him in the ATF jacket, I believe, or FBI, I don't recall, there. Hey, baby, what you doing? You coming to be on radio? There's Logan. He come in and say hi. You want to read that with me? Huh? Say hi? Not talking? Okay. So, anyways, we'll get back over here.
Look.
Oh, you. Uh huh. Did you go to town and have fun with Mama? Daddy? Huh? He's precious. So, where was I? Back to Gary Hunt. He says, well, this was the first action taken in the second American Revolution. And, as I was talking some about Gary Hunt, I forget the guy's name, but I guess he's kind of big in media. What is it? I made mention about that. I've heard that he might be a spook. And he says, yeah, some people believe in flat earth, his remark. Anyways, they're Yeah, they're logical fallacies. Again, how they try to lead people. Cult. This is what cult leaders would do. Cult followers to ensnare more followers. Hey, what's you into, Bimbo? Okay, thank you. And let's see. So anyways, Leah goes on to talk about Djibouti's and the like type being dangerous. And why so? Because government says so, or because they really are violent. And what is, what is, no sir, excuse me, what is, did I do something? Can you hear me still? I hit a button. I good? No, I got internet connection. Hey, you're distracting me, boy. Am I back, Grimner?
You're there.
Oh, good. Wow, that's loud. Hey, Daniel! Hold on a minute, sorry. Go get your daddy. Thank you. Okay, good. Let me try again. All righty. So, why is Leah afraid? She talks about Vegas Vic and about Ryan pulling up in a limo and calls it a circus. Anyways, let me continue. She, BS, let's see. Wait a minute. We're going to go for a walk. Come on, dude. Yeah, thanks. You're live on the radio.
I got your baby. All right,
thanks, dude.
I thought you were going to be in the room with the door, my bad.
All right. Let me get back into the internet connection zone. So this is life, and we're having fun. Hey. You're on the radio live. You're being heard right now.
Okay. All right. That's not a bad thing, is it?
Well, part of it, maybe. Make sure you're aware you're being recorded.
Yes, sir.
All right. I always like to do that. Make sure people know. All right, sneaky. Back to where it was at. So what is she afraid of? She's talking about how the Bundys ought to have been afraid to be in Vegas outside their home range out in the Booney Land. And Ryan arrives in a limo and, it's a circus. So she says that that the prosecution and the Bundys agreed on a couple of things. And that was grazing fees and the Bundy Ranch was important. Now, she goes again back to this idea of a whole bunch of money being owed, where in fact, my understanding, it was about $8,000 and six was paid, and $6,000 of that was paid, and so that left about a couple of grand. hey, baby. Yeah, I love that kid. So, where was we at? Yeah. So then the armed Oregon, that is, in the protest. Was it a protest or an occupation? So we're back up into Oregon there. Bob Seger again, turn the page. So, claims by government against the Bundy boys is that they were conspiring to impede federal agents and so forth. Basically, it was a occupation, a trespass. They were claimed adverse possession, so forth. But anyways, now we're back down into Vegas, and she's talking about the sleeping juror and how it was nudged awake by the bailiff. During the prosecution's opening. And she talks about, again, there were no lawyers in the court. Like, everybody was representing themselves. No. What the hey, Leah. Talking about jackbooted agents with cameras and snipers and so forth set up. Juror was wide awake. It's a dignified response. The days of the Constitution hidden away, or a way of life. guys with guns and film crews. Yeah, those are the ones that showed up. The slam dunk prosecution, presupposed, that is, by the district attorney, Stephen Myrie. Don't ask, don't tell. That was his policy. And do Americans have the right to stand against government policies? And to what extent? That's the great importance of this here. Whether Clive and Bundy owed $2,000 or $6 million. What we're seeing is death of rural America. The Bundys won. That's what they say. Or, you know, I say it's still going on. It ended in a mistrial with prejudice in Las Vegas, February the 8th. That came from threat assessments, you know, that weren't allowed in there, that the Bundys weren't in any danger. So-called experts come to testify. Who's telling the truth? So hat on, Cliven goes home, steak, it's what's for dinner, the steaks, that's really what's at stake. It's not just the cow, it's not the cattle, it's not the tortoise, it's no contract with federal government. Stand up, stuck guns down, who, our thoughts? No, it ain't over. Well, we'll tell them the truth. That's what Cliven says. And my question to me and to Channel 8 then, outside the sheriff's department, was it won or went away? You know, it's not over. Make sure you show it all. And this fringe uprising, who owns the West? You know, they're trying to say that it'd been better just to go on and ignore Clive and Bundy and the rest of this movement, but I don't think you can stick a stake in this one, or not a fork in the stake, and call it done. And it's not about white supremacists, nukes, and religion, Leah. I want to tell you about the video I'll share along there. That's the one I shot in 2014. It's entitled Clive and Bundy Demands, and we're going to hear a little bit from Sheriff Gillespie, and I have several videos there on my YouTube channel. I think I might have moved this one over to Real Liberty Media, actually, too. Maybe we'll look for it there, and we'll share that video. So Gillespie, he says the operation is over. The Gold Butte will be reopened. He said that in a communique on his way out there that the he understood the cattle were being released. And what Cliven had to say. Yeah, well, he called Gillespie a BLM negotiator, and he's not there to negotiate, and but he might help him, give him some legs underneath him, and if he can, or we can, and he said to tear down those things. Now, this is where you got to hear, because, you know, he doesn't talk proper words all in a row, like, right, sometimes, like anybody you might else know. Just tell these feds to get, take their guns, lay them down here at this flagpole, and you got 1 hour now. And so that's how part one's going to end of Bundyville, the battle. We'll come back next week with number two in your series, and I forgot what the title is, but I'll drop it in here at the end of the, for Grimner. Thank you, Grimner. And I'll take a while and put that all together. And I almost got everything gathered, I think. And we'll round out this broadcast. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And special mention to all those people that are coming along and taking a stand. Sometimes we don't all agree on the right way of doing this. But if you ain't wrong, then, or if you ain't right, try to do it different. I don't know. Try to do something, though. Might not always do it right and still not be wrong, I think. Maybe it might be what I was trying to say. All right. Thanks, Governor.
Thank you, Vincent. Thank you.
All right. That's loud. Wow. Wait, now that I can't hear you. Okay.
All right.
There, then. How long did we go? I didn't even time myself.
All right. Let me stop the thing here.